For over 6 years, Hank Thorpe hosted All of the Above Radio, the most intelligent, honest, and eclectic combo of music and talk that you never heard. But the more things change, the more things stay the same. Hank is back with a new version of the old scene. No more music, no more time constraints, but he still has great stories, great interviews, and more passion than a novel with Fabio on the cover. Once upon a time, Hank Thorpe was your bastion of good music, good talk, and full escapism. Now, Hank is your bastion for punchlines, passion, and perspective. Hank Thorpe, your former, present, and future favorite podcast host, presents all new, all different, but still, All of the Above.
I'm so out of practice, I barely even know how to open up and talk to you guys again. About 10 minutes from now, it'll come back to me. I'm told it's like riding a bike. Welcome to All New, All Different, All of the Above. New version of the old scene. My name is Hank. Hey, how you doing? You can find me on facebook.com/allofthe above radio or my plain old regular page, HANKTHORPE. How you doing? On Instagram, you can find me at Hank Told You So or at Hank Hey. At Hank Hey, how you doing? By the way, have not been on Instagram a whole heck of a lot. If you remember the conversation, I'm just going to get right into it. Today's episode is going to be just a bunch of random musings. I have been poring over all the different ideas I have, all the different stuff I've randomly written down, and probably once a week I'll look at it before I fall asleep. My lovely wife asleep next to me because she is an adult with sense, and I'll be looking at the stuff that I haven't talked to you guys about in a while and just think, when am I going to be able to do this? When am I going to set the time aside to do this? And then every time I start looking at the ideas, I just start thinking, who the heck's going to want to listen to this? I gotta tell all of you. I gotta have this quick conversation with every last one of you. We all have something that is causing us to get stuck in our own heads. Fear of something, apprehension towards something, so on and so on and so on. And it's not easy to walk through. Just isn't. It's a cloud of mosquitoes that you look at it and you just think, ew, nasty, I don't want to do that. Then you walk through it and you swat for a minute. You might do a quick because you got a bug in your mouth, but it wasn't terrible when you walk through it. And on the other side, well, there's no more mosquitoes. That's a terrible, terrible reference. But at least you got to hear me make a funny choking sound. But what I'm trying to tell you is there's a, whatever the cloud of doubt is you have, got to figure out how to get through it. See what's on the other side. Even if it's something as simple as flipping on the microphone and spending some time talking to you guys. I was having a conversation with my lovely wife maybe 2 weeks ago at this point. She's almost a year into turning her side hustle into a career. Mindful Tidying with Haley.com. Find her on Instagram also, by the way. And she was asking me one day if she should be discouraged or offended. I can't remember which one. That she was having trouble getting people to sign up for a free session she was offering. And I proceeded to go on a personal rant and tell her that one of the main reasons that All of the Above Radio, the original version of this show, didn't soar to higher heights when I was doing it every Tuesday was my fear of rejection. And I would carefully pick who I handed my cards to, who I told the show about. Whenever people would ask me about the show, I would kind of profile them real quick to see if they were going to actually listen and see if they were going to enjoy it and give feedback. And if I didn't think they would, I wouldn't tell them about it. I wouldn't talk much about it. I'd be like, yeah, it's fun. It's cool. Talk about stuff. I wouldn't get real deep into it. But if I thought you were really going to be into it, I would tell you a lot about it and pull out my notes and let people read the topics that I had been writing or had just talked about. And then it was even worse because if they didn't listen or if I asked them about it 3 weeks later, like, oh, I haven't listened yet, but I'm totally gonna. I totally want to. I can't tell you how much that ripped my guts out whenever it happened. And what I don't want, and I'm going to bring this back to me in a second, what I don't want my lovely wife to feel is that same fear of rejection and that same feeling of personal attack if somebody doesn't want your services or want your commodity. And I talked about it before on the airwaves of All of the Above Radio, and I talked to it, and I talked to you about it in some way or another on this version of the show. It's called broadcasting for a reason. The original meaning of broadcast came from crop fertilization. Broadcasting is throwing seeds over a wide mound of dirt to see what grew. This is in an America, by the way, where there was actually vast land to plant. Are you going to knock over a high rise and broadcast seed into grass now? Doubt it. Excuse me. But if there's one thing that I probably could have done, and actually, when I was chatting with my wife about this, I talked about my fear of rejection for All of the Above Radio and the personal offense I took if people that I thought would like it didn't listen. It was very similar in dating. There's the this is how I know I'm getting old, by the way. Some of the references I make are really geared towards people at my age or above. But the comedian Sinbad, who was in various Disney movies later on in life, he was on the TV show A Different World. He was a very funny stand-up comic. Very clean, very funny stand-up comic. And he talked about how when you were 13 years old, when you nervously walk up to a girl to ask her to dance at a junior high dance, and she says no, and you kind of run away all slumped. And then he says, well, once you get to your 20s, you're just yelling across the bar, hey, you with the weave, come on, dance floor, let's go. No, I was just playing anyway. You should be glad I asked. So somewhere between that and what I have referred to as the Boomhauer method, Boomhauer from King of the Hill, he takes Bobby Hill into a woman's shoe store and talks to 25 women, and he gets slapped by like 7 of them. He gets laughed off by 6 of them, but he gets a phone number from 5 of them. And so somewhere in there is what I should have been doing. I should have been broadcasting my broadcast. I actually genuinely thought one day, while I was doing All of the Above Radio, because when you buy business cards, you don't buy 25 at a time. You buy 200 at a time. I thought about standing outside of the various indie shows I used to go to and just hand them out. Just the same way that you're in Las Vegas walking up and down the strip and there's random, we'll call them people with homes, with cards for escort services. They just put them in your hand, and some of them end up in people's pockets, some of them end up on the ground. But there was I wanted so badly one day to go to one of those indie shows and stand in the parking lot as people were leaving until the cops told me to move, and then I would have gone to a different spot, and I would have handed my cards out there, and then the cops would have told me to move, and I would have just done that over and over again. And even if I gave out, it's like that scene in the movie Half-Baked, where they give out their cards for Mr. Nice Guy with the samples, and the first thing that all they cared about was emptying the bags. Thurgood, Scarface, and Brian, all they cared about was emptying the bags of cards to hand to people. Hey, this is Mr. Nice Guy. We are the new guy on the street. We are your party accessory guy. And then it was just, okay, now we wait to see how what the product is and how good it is. It was, by the way, spoiler alert. It's something I never did. And tying it back into now with all new, all different, all of the above. There are moments where I look at my notes before bed, or I look at a window of time where I might actually have time to give to this microphone and to you, and I think, but who's going to want to listen to this? That's kind of, sort of, not where my mind should be. My mind should be more on, I have something to say, somebody's going to enjoy it. Or, I have something to say, and I will feel better after I say it. Because what I did used to say when I was doing all of the above radio was, this is cheaper than therapy, and if I say it to all of you out onto the airwaves, maybe somebody will laugh about it, learn from it, or become better as a result of it. Or if nothing else, just have something to talk about with me. You'll get to know me in some other way that you may not have known if we were just sitting around. By the way, you really do know. Oh boy. I probably could put together one full episode of how you know you're getting old. Actually, I do have that topic written somewhere in here. I don't remember where I put it, but I have come to the realization that I am getting old. I've already known that I was getting old, but when my wife, were we engaged yet? Yes, we were engaged, 2021. Yes, we were engaged. Okay, my then fiance, now wife, and her sister and sister-in-law, we went to Maui. You've heard me talk about Maui. Fantastic interview with Jessica Everett of Esther's Fair Prospect. Scroll down on Spotify. Go listen to that episode. Such a great interview. Such a cool chick, man. So we're in Maui, and my father-in-law, her dad, is there. And he is, I'm going to say he's right around 58, 59. Sorry if I overaged you, father-in-law, Mr. S. And he was making a lot of references to TV shows that were before my time. Well before my wife's time, but before my time. And when we got into the tour van, and the tour guide, Jimmy, who was in his, I want to say he was in his mid to upper 60s, he was talking to all of us in the van, but my father-in-law started to realize that he had a contemporary in the van with him, and he was making references to Hogan's Heroes and Barbara Eden and a whole bunch of stuff from 1960s and 70s television, which was going over our heads, but it was absolutely landing with the tour guide. And I realized, and in that moment in Maui, I was kind of like, ha, 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 father-in-law, Tom, you're so old, ha, ha, ha. But I have realized that a lot of the references I make now are old. And it's crazy to think how fast time traveled since I moved to Texas. Let's just put that in a bubble. I moved to Texas, or I set foot in Texas January 24th of 2004. And so since I've been here, well, 19 years has gone by, but it doesn't really feel like that. And a lot of the references I make are from a heyday of television that a lot of people I work with, am married to, am friends with, they don't know it because they were too young to have seen it, or it wasn't their or it just wasn't their thing. But when I make Arrested Development references, if I make references to Chappelle's show, did you ever think you'd be in a world where referencing Chappelle's show would go over somebody's head because they're too young to remember it? I never thought I'd want to see the day. Or, and this is something that kind of cracks me up a little bit. This is a little bit more cultural than time, but it is also time related. The day that Michael Jackson died, I didn't know my wife at the time. She didn't I don't think she lived in Texas yet. But it was a conversation that popped up later. When Michael Jackson died, she didn't grow up on Michael Jackson, which is fine. People can be taught. But whenever she first heard that Michael Jackson died and saw the media outpour and the cultural sadness that washed over, even in the midst of Michael Jackson's god-awful allegations or truths, whatever you'd like to call them, apparently my wife said to somebody near her, gee, I have no idea why everybody's freaking out so much about the guy who sang the Free Willy song dying. And see, there's people my age that heard that sentence and just said, what? Now I'll flip that for you, just to talk about cultural versus time, just real quick. I had another conversation with my wife. This is within the time we've been together. Been married almost a year, been together for 5. And we were talking about George Strait. I had never heard of George Strait until I moved to Texas. That is a true statement. 100% never heard of George Strait until I moved to Texas. And everybody from white to Hispanic to everybody in between will say, oh, that's King George, anytime George Strait comes on. And I was having this conversation with my wife, and she proceeds to say, oh yeah, he's had over 50 number one hits. He can do when he had his residency in Vegas, he would do two consecutive shows and not play the same song, which, by the way, Metallica is also doing this summer. I think I might be too cheap to go, but that's beside the point. But I realized I'm getting to a point in my life where my TV references or my music references or my movie references are struggling to land because I'm getting a little old. It's really hard to know, it's not really hard, let's flip. It's really fun and rewarding when you find people who know your references, who were there when. As recently as last week, by the way, I was sitting at a brewery about a half hour from where I live, and it was 6 dudes. All of us I want to say the youngest guy in the room might be 37, but the oldest guy in the room was 45. So we're slinging references back and forth to Married with Children and a Chappelle show and making movie references from The Matrix. Just all sorts of stuff that would be lost on people 10, 15 years younger. And it was really rewarding. And like I told you, this is for the most part gonna be a bit of a meandering episode, because I'm really, really trying. I'm trying to come to grips with some things, everybody. I'm trying to have this. When I became a bit more of an adult, I'm talking like 15, 16 at this point. When I came to the realization, so my mother used to get on me verbally, real bad, whenever I would complain. My mother, her voice will forever ring in my ears. My mother would try so hard to push me towards doing things in a way that would be time efficient. And then she would just finally get annoyed with me, and I can hear the tone and pitch of her voice right now, because it would be until 7 or 8 or 9 o'clock at night that I was still doing my homework, and we're talking like fourth, fifth grade homework. So the simple garbage math that your iPhone can do for you now, I'm struggling with for two very distinct reasons. I used to play video games first, or get on or ride my bike before doing homework, or I would have the TV on while I was doing homework. So one day I was probably complaining about how long homework took me or how late it was, and I remember my mother saying something to the effect of, well, instead of doing your homework, you ride your bike. Which, of course, your parents want you to be some level of healthy and some level of balanced. But you know what your parents also want? They want quiet. They want silence. They want calm. And you know what is not calm and quiet? A kid complaining. So at that point, my mother probably just wanted me to be like, hey, look in the mirror and realize why you're complaining. So it wasn't until probably my sophomore year of college, and maybe even after I got kicked out of college and had to go back to community college, that I really realized homework first, then play, and turn off the TV while you're doing homework. Find music that is comfortable for you and do homework. Turn the TV off, but get your homework done so then you can play. Here's the problem with that. It's not a problem, it's just kind of a truth. The more adult your life becomes, the more homework you have to do. And wouldn't trade any of it. But what I will say is, when you are the renter of a beautiful condo, or a person who likes having a stocked refrigerator, or a person who likes having clean clothes, laundry doesn't stop. Food keeps getting eaten, so food has to be cooked. Vacuuming needs to be done because you're walking on the floors and they get dirty. And there's so much stuff that can be done before you get to do the things you want to do. But it is truly rewarding to get those things done so that you feel freer to do the things you want to do, because you're not thinking in the back of your head, wow, I should be doing laundry right now. No, you're just thinking, wow, I'm in this moment and it's fantastic. I love that moment. I strive for that moment. I strive for that moment where you actually get to be in the moment. You don't have to be concerned about other things that you should be doing. There's no I's to dot or T's to cross, as the old folks would say. But if you've ever heard the phrase, so much to do, so little time, that's very accurate as an adult. There's really cool things about being an adult, by the way. So, one of my, my direct boss at the restaurant I work at, she is 30 years old, and she will admit that she's probably about 13 at heart. She went over to our friendly neighborhood Walmart to buy a birthday cookie cake for one of the employees and some candles and sparklers. And while she was there, she found an air horn. It had nothing to do with the birthday. It had nothing to do with the party. She just thought it would be really funny to scare the crap out of her employees by walking around and just blasting an air horn every now and then. If you're 12 years old and you have a little bit of money from mowing lawns, or if you're a TikTok content creator and you've got money, I don't know. This is 2023. 12-year-olds can make money and more of it than me in any way they wish. But if you've got a little bit of money and you're 12 years old and you say, Mom, can I buy that air horn? The first question is probably going to be, to do what? When you're 30 years old and you live by yourself, nobody can really tell you what to do. Just yesterday, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, right before I went into work, you know what I ate? A giant bowl of cereal. Because I could. Nobody was telling me that I had to eat a well-balanced meal. Nobody was telling me that I had to have a protein, a carb, and a vegetable. I had money, I bought cereal, it was on sale, and I wanted to eat cereal. I had a refrigerator of rice and quinoa and vegetables, and I actually made myself a salad, and I said, you know what, I'm going to take that salad to work and eat it later. I'm going to have some freaking cereal now, because I can. So there's very cool things about being an adult. But there's also some very stressful things. The knowledge that there is occasionally not enough time to get the things done you want, that is indeed one of them. And for sure, one of those things that I truly love to do is this, is talk to you. But I sure do get in my head and I think, but who's going to want to listen to it? What else should I be doing instead? Why should I do this, knowing that I don't do it frequently enough to keep listeners? Which, by the way, for all of you who stay loyal to this and patiently wait for the next bit of content, or pleasantly surprised when it shows up and enjoy it when it does, of course I say thank you. And I could hang my head a little bit and say I would like to be better for you. But I also got to get over this thing of, well, all of it. So now that I've gotten the quote-unquote apology out of the way, I did actually have one thing I really wanted to bring up. So actually, I'm going to pull a bit of a left turn. Let me see if I can find this. Here we go. So this has actually been something that I've been burning on for a really long time. And I couldn't work myself up into chatting about it with you guys. But it's going to get heavy for one quick second. It's gonna get heavier than the apology I just made to you for not bringing enough content because I'm stuck in my own head. But we were... So, let me set the scene for you. And the conversation was so long ago that I don't remember how it came up. But we were... But this is me, my wife, my very, 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 very close friend. He was the best man in my wedding, and his girlfriend. They weren't together at this point. Yeah, they were not together at this point. They were just in the talking to each other process and seeing, basically, the fuse was lit and the explosion was close by. But we were on our way to the Red Hot Chili Peppers concert at Globe Life Field, right in the shadow of Cowboy Stadium. Actually, right in the shadow of where I used to do all of the above radio. And I would call it lovely Arlington, Texas, but you know that's not true. And I'm imagining that there was a big celebrity death that had just happened. I don't remember who. And we were just kind of going through, we were just kind of talking in a circle in the car about, is there a celebrity that hit you hard enough that you cried, a celebrity death that hit you hard enough that you cried? And my buddy said Billy Mays. His girlfriend said Robin Williams and Betty White. And my wife, she said nobody, which is fine. And up to this point in my life, my answer is also nobody. But it, of course, gives you the thought of who would it be? Who could it be? And first and foremost, we need to have that quick conversation about value. And we're going to have that conversation and this conversation over here. So, once upon a time, on the airwaves of all of the above radio, I told you a story of a woman that I met one night. She was an absolutely fine woman. I don't know that much about her. I just remember she was a taller black woman who looked a lot like Odell Beckham in his blonde hair phase. And the week prior to me meeting her, David Bowie had died. And we were sitting in a restaurant. It's my now ex-girlfriend, my then friend, now wife, my buddy and his girlfriend, and two other people. One of which is this woman who looks like Odell Beckham. And we're just going around the table, just talking and talking and talking. And a song from David Bowie comes on in this restaurant we're sitting at. And she talks about how important David Bowie's music was to her and starts crying hard. And at first blush, you're kind of like, really? And let me go even further back. To November of, dear God, we're going to call it 05, maybe? When Eddie Guerrero, WWF wrestler, died. And the bar I worked at the time, we had carte blanche to put whatever we wanted on TV. So we put Monday Night Raw on. And they're doing, and WWE is doing their standard tribute episode. And a girl who was sitting at the bar, who was a huge fan of wrestling, is tearing up. And three seats down, somebody looks at her and says, really? You're crying because a wrestler died? Which, by the way, is way out of bounds. That's not fair to say. So, we get to the conversation of value. And we get to the conversation that I had with you guys a long, long time ago. This is probably late January, early Feb, of 2014. I can see every moment of this conversation that I was having. I was in Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania. I was recording a full show to edit, package, and send to Fishbowl to play. And Harold Ramis, the director, or Egon from Ghostbusters, had just died. And there was a lot of sadness in my voice. There was no tears, but a lot of sadness. And Harold Ramis' death, the guy who was the writer of lots of movies, the director of lots of movies, the actor in lots of movies. Harold Ramis, Michael Jackson, like I mentioned earlier, David Bowie, Billy Mays, Robin Williams, these all have a very similar, they all are in a very similar, all in a similar box, and here's why. You have to think about, on a person-to-person level, all life kind of sort of is the value you put on things. If you want to get existential for one quick second, this, everything we do and all the reasons we do it can mean everything or nothing. It's just whatever you put into it. Whatever you feel it deserves. And whatever it gives back to you. And as much as I might get skeptical for one quick second if somebody cries over the death of a celebrity, if somebody told me they died at the, or they cried when Ryan Dunn wrecked his car and died, my first thought would have been, well, that's not a great hero to be crying about. But it is about the value that you put into something and the effect that they had on you. Because that woman who cried over David Bowie may not have ever met him, but either maybe she was an aspiring musician and his lyrics said something to her. Or maybe she was an aspiring fashion designer and all of the different risks he took as Ziggy Stardust or as David Bowie, maybe that spoke to her. Maybe these are things that helped her become pivotal. And when you think about it, how many people have never met Ellen DeGeneres, but watched the progression of Ellen DeGeneres come out as a gay celebrity in Hollywood and were positively affected by that? There will be a legion of lesbian women that, if Ellen DeGeneres' estate were to have a public viewing or a life ceremony or funeral, I imagine that there is, bad joke alert, going to be a lot of women in flannel that want to pay their respects for what Ellen DeGeneres meant to them, even if they never met. And that conversation of value actually stretches further. So this is a conversation I had with my then girlfriend, now wife, after I had seen Infinity War. When you see Avengers Infinity War, it was a bit of a gut-wrenching movie once you get towards the last, we'll call it 10 or so minutes. You should have aimed for the head. Steve, I am Groot. These are moments that as I'm reciting them, there are people listening to this that are saying, bro, stop. Stop. But I told my wife how gut-wrenching the end of the movie is and how emotional people were after it was over. And my wife said, Well, you know they're fictional characters, right? Stick a pin in that. So then there was a conversation about the Harry Potter franchise, and actually, I don't remember the conversation, so I'm just going to leave it there. I don't have enough leg to stand on. So here's the thing about saying that somebody is just a fictional character. Whether it's a celebrity you've never met, or it's a comic book character being brought to life on screen, or it's a character in a book, they all carry the value that you put into it. If there is a character in a book that inspired you to do something, for example, the book The Alchemist, at its core, it's not fluff, but it's cute and sweet. But it's a book that proves that when you are determined to make something happen, when you want something bad enough, the universe is going to swing in your direction, and there are people in your life that will help you make it happen. But you have to be determined enough to make it happen. And that book affected me. Now, will I shed a tear when Paul Coelho dies, if he hasn't already? I doubt that. But I will have a very deep moment of appreciation for him, if he's still alive, about the book that he wrote, because I put value in that. When a nine-year-old black kid sees and hears, and I'm getting back to the conversation, stay with me, everybody. When a nine-year-old kid sees that T'Challa, Black Panther, is a character that faded in Infinity War, or is a character that died in a movie later, that affects a kid because, and the same thing with the live-action Little Mermaid that's coming out soon, to see heroes that look like you is inspiring to you. That really does give you the thought of, I can do anything. That is what I look like. I could be that. We've heard this conversation before. On the airwaves of All of the Above Radio, I used to gripe about every year how much I hated Halloween. Because when I was growing up, I was not smart enough to find T'Challa, because Black Panther has been around since the late 60s, I believe, in the comic books. But there were no out-in-the-open superheroes that I could dress as. I didn't want to be Spider-Man because Spider-Man was white. I didn't want to be Batman because Batman was white. It wouldn't have been authentic. But this very inclusionary world we live in now, this world that understands that it ain't just one race, and it ain't just one orientation, is making more. Back to Chadwick Boseman. If you were to scroll down a little further than my interview with Jessica Everett, you will find an episode where I speak very deeply about the death of Chadwick Boseman, the man who played Black Panther, and what he meant to not only young black kids looking to see themselves and on a screen. Not only was he a black superhero on screen, but this dude was a black superhero in life because he was dying of cancer and barely told anybody. So I didn't cry at the loss of Chadwick Boseman, but I sure as hell understood why other people may have. Because of either A, he's a person that affected you and what he gave to you, or the value you put in him. They're kind of two different things, and that's why I say them both. Now, I will tell you this.
And I don't know that I've told anybody this out loud, but the last day that I was in Maui, so it's a Saturday, so it's a Saturday morning, my father-in-law, my sister-in-law and her wife, so my sister-in-law and my sister-in-law, they're getting on a plane to LA early in the day. So we all pack, everybody packs up, we load up the van, and we drive to the airport and we drop them off. Early that morning, before we've even left the hotel, because Dallas, Texas is 5 hours ahead, I get a text from somebody who may very well be listening right now that says, "Hey, have you guys heard yet? Russ Martin died." And we're on Maui time, so I'm still asleep. It's, 10 in the morning in Dallas is 5 in the morning in Maui. Do not disturb, and having your phone on silent are two beautiful things, by the way. But I can wholeheartedly tell you, there were moments where it was quiet in my mind that I did struggle to keep it together. If nothing else, because you're in Maui with your then-girlfriend, well, then-fiancé, now-wife, and you're in paradise having a great time. We dropped off. We dropped off father-in-law and sister-in-law and sister-in-law, and the two of us spent the rest of the day together. Found a food truck park, took a long drive up a very scary hill, walked in a little neighborhood, found an amazing bar, Esther's Fair Prospect. Find that episode, me talking to Jessica Everett. You won't regret it. But in the quiet moments, when there were quiet moments, I did struggle to keep it together. And I never met Russ Martin. And you will hear conflicting things about him. You will hear that he was a bit of a scoundrel human being. You've seen the legal allegations he went through. The whole deal about his ex-girlfriend Mandy that he supposedly pistol whipped and all of that. But as a person who has loved talk radio, FM talk radio, since Opie and Anthony, I would tell you I grew up on Howard Stern, but I didn't. I grew up on Opie and Anthony. So we're saying from basically 1999 to this moment we are sitting in right now, I learned a little bit from Howard Stern. I learned a lot from Opie and Anthony, and then Dominski and Doyle, and then I moved to Dallas. And I've been here since 2004, and pretty quickly into moving to North Texas, I went looking for the FM talk station. And FM talk was a huge thing in 2003, 4, 5, 6. It was the big thing. And I found Live 105.3. I found Pugs and Kelly. I found Live 105.3 struggling to put a morning show on, because most everyone struggles to put a morning show on. And then I found Russ Martin. And he talked a lot about the concept of creating a treehouse, where a whole bunch of friends get together in the treehouse and they're just talking to each other. And if you hang around long enough, they'll let you into the treehouse. And then once you get into the treehouse, you won't get all the jokes, but you know things are funny and you know they're having a good time. And you hang around in the treehouse long enough, and suddenly you are a part of the jokes, and you're now having a good time.
And when you move to a new city, I was lucky. My sister is here. I lived at my sister's house. But you, when you move to a new city, you haven't met a lot of people. You're looking for something to kind of keep your mind engaged as you look for friends, as you look for work, as you drive around in a new city. For me, FM Talk was a friend. Pugs and Kelly, they got fired a little earlier than Russ Martin, and Russ Martin were friends. I would go to Pugs and Kelly events. I went to Dodgeball damn near every Wednesday at Duke's original Roadhouse. I don't think I ever shook hands with either of them. I saw them at the same place. I mean, I heard them talk just 3 feet away from me. When Russ Martin was on the hunt to have his own bar and grill, I was there. The place that used to be Randy White's Barbecue in Addison, Texas, was going to be Russ Martin's Bar and Grill. And I remember he was talking on the air about a VIP membership. For $1,500, you got a VIP membership that got you access to, I don't even remember what the perks were. But I remember I had roughly $1,700 to my name in checking and savings. And I drove to that parking lot where Russ Martin's Batmobile was with my checkbook in my car. And I just kept thinking, I'd like to be a part of this. I would like to be this VIP. I'd like to be a VIP. That'd be amazing. To be a part of this, that'd be so fun. You talk about constants in the world. As for me, a person who doesn't always love routine or doesn't always love doing the same thing, there are, of course, some things that have to remain stable. And for me, the Russ Martin Show was one of those pieces of stability. All throughout, from getting fired from one place to moving to another, to his deep vein thrombosis, to his home invasion, to not being on the air for weeks at a time, and it was just Dan and Alfie and Chloe. All the different phases of the Russ Martin Show that I knew, and I haven't even lived in Dallas long enough to know, to remember when he took over for Russ Martin and the ratings were amazing. I just knew Russ Martin, or at least the Russ Martin Show, from 2004 going forward. And when he died, I don't lie and tell you that, especially when we were sitting at the airport and our flight was delayed and my wife was reading, which, go for it, good on you. Wish I could do it. I was on my phone reading articles trying to find how he died. Just article after article, just reading this, basically the same thing. I mean, when it's been less than 24 hours that someone's passed, unless it's something gun-related or whatever, there's usually not a lot to talk about, not a lot to report, but I read every article I could find. Because a piece of my time growing up in Dallas had just been compromised. I didn't cry. But that, truthfully, because of me, a person who was new to Dallas, me, a person who loves talk radio, and me, a person who has been a podcaster, the amount of value I got back from Russ Martin is some of the most value I've gotten back from any celebrity that I've never met. That's a very real statement. The biggest chunk of how I interview
when I do interviews for all of the above is Russ Martin. And it's crazy how quickly that empire crumbled. Because Russ was sick for a long time. And then he died. And then the very sickening truth of Chloe being having lots and lots of child pornography, and now I believe he is in jail. By the way, Dan O'Malley and Alfie Coy, they are kicking and going strong. The Treehouse podcast is up. It's on Spotify. If you ever wanted to catch a little piece of the Russ Martin show and you didn't already know that the Treehouse podcast was a thing, get to it on Spotify. It was really nice to hear Dan and Alfie talk. It's nice to you hear that kind of that conversation about children and grandchildren carrying on the legacy of somebody that's now passed. Dan and Alfie are in some way or another doing that. It's kind of cool, honestly. So obviously this conversation is something I've wanted to have for a while, but just wasn't sure I was in a place to talk about it with you. So as the time has rolled on, more celebrities that meant something to me have passed. And this one's going to be a really goofy one. But Gallagher passing was actually sort of a big deal. When I was a kid, when I was 13, so I was a kid, but when I was 13 or so, Gallagher was the comedian that all of my friends shared. Because I wasn't allowed to watch Eddie Murphy, and I damn sure didn't understand everything he was saying, but I loved Eddie Murphy. But I wasn't allowed to watch it. If my mother caught me watching Gallagher, she didn't care. Because the guy made a lot of political humor, a lot of bad sex jokes, and then spent the last 10 minutes of his show smashing fruit. And I was all in for it. And by the way, this is another old person reference, but this is back in a day where Comedy Central, better known as the Comedy Channel at the time, there was no streaming services. So you basically were at the mercy of whenever the show was on. So it would be 1:30 in the morning that everybody is asleep in the house and I'm sneaking TV in my parents' room watching Gallagher. Now that one didn't carry as much weight, but the Sledge-O-Matic was hilarious. Not even gonna lie. And the one comedy show where he gets really mad, he smashes the watermelon and gets mad because the peel doesn't make the watermelon spread out as far as it should, and then he brings out a peeled watermelon and smashes that one. I mean, there are some comedians that probably find prop comics hacky, but he's another one of the early absurdist humorists and one of the early prop comics, to me at least. And it was funny, and I enjoyed it. And another one that messed me up because a piece of my childhood immediately disappeared was the death of Kevin Conroy. You might be saying, okay, half of you are saying, who? And the other half of you are saying, ugh, damn it, you're right. So, for those of you who are not familiar, Kevin Conroy has been the longest standing voice
of Batman in the animated television shows. All the going back to, I can tell you, the first episode, the absolute first episode of Batman the Animated Series, that this has to have been 1992, I rushed home to watch it. And the voice you hear as Batman is Kevin Conroy. And that show was on for years. And in most every movie, he's the voice. He was the voice of Batman. And then when the Justice League cartoon came out, he was the voice. Justice League Unlimited, he was the voice. He is the voice of, well, for, okay, let's just back up for a second. So if you want to just kind of shut your eyes and tell me, don't be prisoner of the moment, just shut your eyes and think for 1 minute. Hey, man. Hey, woman. Hey, they. Think of the five most well-known superheroes, the first five superheroes that come to your mind. If it isn't Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, if those three don't come to your mind first, and then we can now play prisoner of the moment and add in, I just got done seeing Ant-Man, or I just got done seeing Shazam. Okay, that's fine. But I would be willing to guess Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, and probably now these days maybe Iron Man and Wolverine and Deadpool are probably the first superheroes that come to mind. And the animated and so for two generations, there are two generations that synonymize when you think Batman, you think of two people. If you're really old, you think Adam West. If you're my age, I don't think about Val Kilmer or George Clooney or even Christian Bale. My first thought is Kevin Conroy. Because that's the personification of Batman to me. As much and as excited as I am to see Michael Keaton back on screen as Batman, as much as I have heard Ben Affleck was great as Batman, as much as I actually appreciated Christian Bale as Batman, Kevin Conroy is Batman to me. So I tried to kind of get to thinking about, and by the way, I didn't cry when Gallagher passed, and I didn't cry when Kevin Conroy passed. But I had very deep thoughts about what about the value I put on them and the things that they gave to me. I could call up my buddy Dorian right now. We haven't talked in person in 15 years, maybe more. But we would probably be like, hey man, remember how much we used to love Gallagher? Remember how badly we wanted to play Gallagher baseball in the backyard with fruit and baseball bats? That would be a conversation right now. It's what they gave to you, the effect they had on you, what they inspired you to do. It's the value you put into them. And once again, I never met Gallagher. I never met Kevin Conroy. But they had an effect on me. But I didn't cry. And I keep telling you that to loop it back around because I've tried to think about who would cause me to. What celebrities that I have never met were so influential or pivotal to me that might cause me to? I have a very short list. And one of these days, maybe I'll get into why. But it would be something to the effect of Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, I lost one of them. Oh, Phil Collins, Ice Cube, and this one actually just popped into my head thanks to that conversation I was talking about with you guys just a little bit ago when I was sitting at the brewery and we were flinging 45-year-old people's references back and forth. When I tell you that in my top five sitcoms all time, one person is a common denominator in two of those, and it's Ed O'Neill. My favorite sitcom of all time is Married with Children. In my top five is Modern Family. So those are the celebrities that have been big enough in my life that might cause me to actually lose my composure. I have no idea if I will. I don't know if I'm going to be that person who is the rock for somebody else as they cry, or if I'm going to be the person that's crying and needs a rock to cry on. I don't know. Time will fold that one out. Or unfold that one, I guess you would say. I've been sitting on that topic for a good long time. Really, though, I've been sitting on that for a while. I couldn't find a moment that I just didn't feel like there was ever a moment for that to come out. But here we are. And so much of life comes down to the, it's just better after you get it out. And yet I come back to that conversation of, but you sure do get stuck in your head before leading up to that moment. All the things you should be saying or want to say or will feel better after you've said them. You gotta figure out a way to get through the muck, to get through the doubt, to get through the fear of what will happen as you're talking or after you talk. You gotta get through all that. Because at some point you gotta be sure enough in yourself to say, I have something important to say, somebody's gonna listen. Or, I have something to say, and if nothing else, I'll feel better after it's done. Or, best yet, I have something to say, and I'll feel great while I'm doing it. I did have a really funny moment after I got home. Because, I forget sometimes how, you know that downhill momentum you start getting when you're talking? You get a couple beers in you, and your friends can tell that you're about to go downhill, that you're about to hit a really good downhill slope, and you're about to pull up some momentum with what you're about to say. So I got home and I started doing the inventory of reminiscences and stories I was bringing up at the brewery. Because, I mean, six dudes in their 40s, or five dudes in their 40s and one that's like 37. You start swapping stories, you start reminiscing about stuff, start having memories, especially when you've known some of these people at the table for 15 years. Boy, some crazy memories come out. And I started doing the inventory of some of the stuff I said, and I just said, and I sent the text the next morning. I said, I had a lot of beer, boys. You're not a crowd that's easy to offend, so I think I'm good. But I was actually kind of waiting for somebody to be like, nah, man, you're good. And somebody did. But I urge all of you listening right now to do yourself the favor and try to find your way through that muck. Try to find your way through that doubt. Try to find your way through the fear. to get to the other side. May not be pretty as it's happening, but I promise you afterwards, you're going to be better off. In whatever way, shape, or form. Whether there's a new resolution, whether there's just a weight off your shoulders, whether it's new listeners, whether it's new clients, whatever the fear is that's stopping you from doing something, that's the common denominator. We all have some value that we are here to give to the world. But that product, that value, those words, those are all different. But what is in common is the things that get in our head that hold us back from doing it or saying it or being it. So the first part, of course, is going to be to figure out what is holding you back. And then figure out how to get through it. And then just do it. You know? This inspirational message brought to you by... I feel like I'm some after-school special right now. I'm just a guy. I'm just a guy, ladies and gentlemen. But... by the way... last thought, this is how I'll leave you. I frequently think about, and this is a really weird thing to think about, yet another old person reference, but if anybody else remembers when Fiona Apple won an MTV Music Award, and she gets up there and she says something to the effect of, "This world is bullshit." And she kind of like, and there was kind of a chorus of ohs and boos in the crowd, and people thought she was being really dramatic. But it was kind of an interesting take for her to get up on the microphone. She said something to the effect of, "This world is bullshit. You shouldn't pay attention to who we are and what we do on TV. But I appreciate you guys. You're all cool to me. Thank you for supporting me." And I was getting ready to head in that direction to say, "I'm just a guy. Unfortunately, I am not a superhero. I bleed when you poke me. Please don't poke me. I laugh at stupid stuff. I struggle to get out of my own way. But you guys seem to like when I give you content, so I appreciate you." But that Fiona Apple thing, that sticks with me every now and then, because that was a very meta moment in a room full of people that probably don't spend a lot of time looking in the mirror. And my meta moment for you today is to tell you that I'm just a guy. But if you're cool with listening to just a guy talk, if you want to take a break from Dax Shepard or Joe Rogan, and you want to listen to me, I'm happy for it. And I appreciate you. So we will do this again soon. And soon after that. And soon after that. And soon after that. My name is Hank. This has been All New, All Different, All of the Above. May there be a next time. I say till next time.